So we're looking at the machlokes Tanoim about goyim. Where if you remember, Rabbi Yehuda seemed to have the upper hand within the psukim, that within the local psukim of Erechin, it makes more sense if you're going to Tumtum than Droganos, who have the ability to do everything. They're just not the kind of people that we're talking about, so they fell between the cracks. And it does make sense to compare them to Chereshot B'Katan, because Chereshot B'Katan don't have das to give anything to anyone, and Goyim do have das to give Hekdush in general. However, Reb Meir has the upper hand in terms of Raya's for as far from the outside of Vayikra, Perek Chav Zayin, because it says, Lolachem Balanu Lufnos Beis Elokeinu, in the days of Ezra, they told the local Goyim that the Goyim were not allowed to contribute towards Bedek HaBayis. Bedek HaBayis has to be only from Jews, which proves that Goyim were not included in Kedushas Bedek HaBayis, which makes sense that maybe he got it from the Chumash here, that Goyim were excluded from giving to Bedek HaBayis, since Erechin go to Bedek HaBayis, Goyim are excluded from Erechin.
Now, did Yisro apply also in Bayis Rishon?
What?
In Bayis Rishon.
In Bayis Mistama, whatever did apply to Bayis Sheni applied also in Bayis Rishon. It just didn't necessarily come up. Now it's an interesting question. In Bayis Rishon, we do know that Shlomo had a friendly kingdom to the north who sent him various types of timber, etc. But my assumption would be that at least, you know, Minastam, my assumption would be that the case were not comparable. Obviously, I mean, let me just make a reductio ad absurdum, right? If I want to build the Beis HaMikdash, and I want to donate stones to the Beis HaMikdash, so I can't go to the local Arabs at the quarry and buy a truckload of stones from them and donate them to the Beis HaMikdash? Of course I can. It doesn't matter where the stones came from. It matters who wants to be mekdish them in order to do the mitzvah or have the shir in Kedushas Bedek HaBayis. So the days of Shlomo HaMelech Mistamba, if you look in just Pshat HaMusokim, Shlomo HaMelech didn't ask Hiram Melech Tzor to donate toward the Beis HaMikdash towards Bedek HaBayis. He asked them to supply him with materials for his personal project. So he got materials from a guy, and then he was makdish them, I mean, both halachically and historically. Shlomo got the materials from his friend, and then Shlomo was makdish them, which also makes sense in the history. And the king of Tzor wasn't interested in building a temple in Jerusalem, not building a temple in Jerusalem. He was interested in helping out his friend who needed materials, and if his friend wanted materials to build a movie theater, he would have given him the same materials. If he wanted to build an art museum, he would have given him the same materials. Very different from the case over here, where I'm saying it technically, but this technicality, the Pshat should have been historically. Technically, Hiram gave it to Shlomo, and Shlomo's Makdashit, and as opposed to here, where they wanted to be Makdashit, which corresponds to the different historical circumstances. Here, Shlomo is building his own Mikdash. The Melech Tzor was just doing him a favor by giving him materials. It was a personal favor to Shlomo, and Shlomo was Makdash. And the whole problem in the case of Ezra was not that they want to do personal favors to the Jews and give them things for whatever project the Jews were interested in. Adrabah, they were sorry Yehuda. They wanted to mess up the Jews. And one of the ways they wanted to mess up the Jews was by being makdish for Bedek HaBayis. Exactly how is that being messed up the Jews? Okay, there are different ways of reading the politics underlying. I'm not going to get into the different shitas and understanding the pshat in Ezra and Nehemiah. But suffice it to say that if you go to the, you know, Tanakh Shiurim, we're all missing the Tanakh Shiurim today, right? If you go to hear Tanakh Shiurim and Ezra Nehemiah, you know, one of the things they would discuss is why did they want to contribute to the Bedek HaBayis? Were they just trying to make sure the bias wasn't built and interfere in a way where they could be double agents and be Merapi Yadayim? Or no, they really did want to build a bias, but they didn't want it to be the bias of the Jews narrowly defined in the, you know, halachic loyalty to Torah mitzvah sense that we're used to. They wanted the Jews broadly defined to include themselves, and they wanted to be equal with the rest of the Jews in the Beis HaMikdash. That's a big Tanakh issue. Why do they want to contribute? Is it just a secret plot to actually ruin the Binyan? Or they really did want to contribute to the binyan. They just want to be partners in the binyan, unlike Melech Tzor, who had no interest in the Jewish religion. And then, what was the danger? Was the danger that they wanted to contribute as a trick to make sure nothing would get built because they hated the Jews? Or was the danger that they wanted to be part of the Jewish people and part of the Beis HaMikdash, and they wanted to water down Judaism, Beis HaMikdash, to the extent where anyone who, you know, has any shy, you know, who decides they want to be part of it is part of it, and that would lead to intermarriage assimilation and the watering down of the whole religion, and that was why they refused? Simple pshat, again, we're not getting into Tanakh now, but if you have two ways of reading Tanakh, did they want to make sure it wasn't built? Or no, at first they wanted it to be built, but they wanted it to be built in a more, you know, in a more syncretist, a more ecumenical sense. That might be the machlok between Rav Meir of Yehuda and the Havi and the Maskana in our Gemara, right? At first we assume that what was wrong with what they wanted to do is they wanted to be part of Benekabais. The answer is no. Benekabais has standards. Benekabais is our Benekabais. It's not your Benekabais. There's no ecumenical Benekabais. Obviously, later on in the Gemara, we'll see that no, maybe that wasn't the issue. Maybe really Goyim could donate to Benekabais. And the issue is just that these Goyim were trying to pull a trick and didn't really want the bais to be built. Okay. Simple pshat is, again, I'm reading simple pshat of our Gemara, which we only do for a few minutes a day. Simple pshat of words, that's the machlokas Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, right? Rav Meir assumes Goyim can fundamentally not give, and their problem was they want to be part of it, and Ezra said, no, you can't be part of it. Or Rav Yehuda assumes, no, Goyim could be part of it. Just they were tricky Goyim who were trying to pull a fast one on us by being double agents. And Ezra realized they were double agents. Okay, that affects how you read those whole svarim, but ain kan makoma.
I mean, also, historically, in Bayit Rishon, they were independent. They did whatever they wanted. They didn't have to worry about the money. Here, they have to worry about, they were subservient to them. They have to worry about them. So part of the machloka could be, how far do we have to go to keep them happy?
Okay. quite possibly. We'll get to that a little later. Okay, now let's get back to our Gemara and see what's going on. Okay, let's first read our Gemara very naively, very pshat, and see what's going on. The Gemara says, we'll pick up where we left off. Where are we? Here we are. We are at the sixth to last line in the middle. Rav Yehuda, hi lo lechem v'lonu my avid lei. Again, Rav Meir took Lolochem v'lanu as meaning that fundamentally Goyim are mufka from Benekabais. Benekabais is a purely Jewish concept. Goyim cannot be shaykh to Benekabais. What does Rabbi Huda do with the pasuk? After all, Rabbi Huda says Goyim are shaykh to Benekabais. They can give erchid. What does he do with the pasuk? After all, the pasuk says they can't give to Benekabais. Amar v'chis amar v'imi v'erko nignaz. No, it means a goy can make erchid. His neder is toe-faced, but we don't use it for Benekabayis. Instead, it's nignaz. It's just put away someplace, and we don't do anything with it. Meaning, because it's hekdesh, we can't use it for secular purposes. Lo lechem v'lanu tells us we can't use it for Benekabayis purposes, so we do nothing with it. It just sits eternally, like what we call geniza nowadays. We do with our old svarim, old chumash. So Rav Yehuda admits that they can't give to Benekabayis. They can be makdish, we just can't use it. Elamiato lo yimalubo. The Gemara asks, but then there should be no meila. There's a principle in halacha. The principle in halacha is that any hektish which is useless no longer has an isur meila. Why? Because by meila it says mikodshei Hashem. Kodshei Hashem is defined as that which has some religious use for Hashem. Obviously not use for Hashem in the crass sense. Hashem is all perfect and needs nothing, but use in the avodah of Hashem. So anything which has no use whatsoever is exempt from meila. There are very few things that have no use whatsoever. Because after all, you have a karban, it's useful for a karban. And if the karban gets a mum, then it's useful to redeem it and use the money to buy a new karban. But there are five chatos mesos, the special Elohim Sinai, very, very interesting concepts, which we're not going to go into now, that there are five chatos mesos, basically, when I say basically, I mean when you get into the details, it's more complex. It is a special rule of a chatos, that unlike all the other karbanos, which they have some sort of generic use as karbanos, right? It's good to someone that is makdish and ola. He's makdish and ola because he had a hurri avera, whatever the case may be, and he has very specific religious, spiritual reasons in his personal quest and journey why he's makdish this ola, and he drops dead and the ola's wandering the streets. We bring the ola anyway. Lamaisa, it's always good to have an ola. Chatas is very different. It's much more sensitive. And that the whole definition of chatas is because Reuven ate chaylev on Tuesday afternoon. This isn't the time to question what I'm saying. I'm just giving one very basic explanation and one basic perspective. Chatas is much more sensitive in that sense. And therefore, what if a guy is Reuven's makdish is chatas and he dies? Then what can we do with this chatas? We can't be makrovit because it's not ink apart the mason, etc. Right? We can't redeem it and use the money for new chatas because the new chatas have the same problem that it's not coming for any valid purpose. So if you have a chatas that mesu balel is kapur balel, tmuras chatas, other cases, many of which fit this pattern, although not all, there's a din of chatas mesos. They just, it's like kniza, right? They just die. Meaning perhaps we begrumma hasten, it seems to be begrumma, we hasten their death, but we don't do anything to them. Meaning we can't mamish just kill them because they're hektish, we can't use them for secular purposes because they're hektish, we can't be makar of them because there's no longer justification, there's no longer basic reason for being makar of them. And therefore, they just die. That's chatos amesos. Most holchos liyam amelach are the same as chatos amesos. It's just not the guy who's mafresh a chatos, in my example, Reuven mafresh a chatos and died, he was mafresh money for a chatos and died. Same problem. You can't use the money to bring a chatas for a guy who's dead, or he was mafresh money and he brought a different chatas already. Then the money just can't die, so you throw into the Yam HaMelech. This is like Nisa. So what do we see the halacha is, even though these are hektish, the guy who's makdish them hektish gomer, once they're useless, there's no me'ila anymore. Midrabbani, you still shouldn't be nanda for them, but there's no me'ila anymore. Right? Lo nanda v'lo malin. Midrabbanan, simple shot. You can't be nanda. However, there's no key of me'ila. When it comes to a kodshe bedek habayis of goyim, it says, there's no me'ila, but kodshe bedek habayis of goyim, there is me'ila. So now we have a problem. Rabbi Yehuda just said, right, l'chor, this price has to be at least someone. Maybe it's not Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir doesn't hold to bedek habayis of goyim, but at least Rabbi Yehuda has to agree. At least one person has to hold from this brisa, has to be the author of this brisa. So he just said, yigunzu, they're useless. But if they're useless, then why is there me'ila? We know from chatos mesos that useless things don't have me'ila. So the simple pshat of the Gemara is, we retract. At first we said, like Rav Chista, Vimi, that Rav Yehuda, Rav Meir holds there is no erchen. Rav Yehuda holds there is erchen, it's nignas. Must be that it's not true. Must be that Rav Chista Amar Avimi is Nifrach, and rather Ella Amar Rava, right? That's the Ella, right? Ella generally means we reject what we said beforehand. Ella Amar Rava, Mishum Rifyun Yodayim Hu, Dechsevahi Am Ha'arth Mrapin Yodayim Yehudim Valo, some of notes, just a pasuk or two later, or a couple pasuk later, whatever it works out. Hold on, I have it on the side here. One pasuk later. Merapim, right, they weakened the hands, meaning the Goyim tried to keep us from building Beis HaMikdash. We see clearly from then on in the story, the aim of the local Goyim, the Samaritans, and etc., was to keep us from building Beis HaMikdash. They tried to weaken us all the way possible. They even used violence. They sent hishtadlus to and letters and to the king of Persia, the emperor of Persia, to revoke the Heter Pinyah for the Beis HaMikdash. Etc. So, what do we see here? That really a goy can donate to Bedek HaBayis, and it has real kedusha of Bedek HaBayis, so a goy can really give to Bedek HaBayis. Just in that particular circumstance, or in many particular circumstances, right? Maybe in the days of Shlomo HaMelech, now you could say, yeah, a goyim could donate to Bedek HaBayis. But these goyim were just trying to prevent the bayis from being built. Why do they want to donate? Because, you know, right now, why? They couldn't stop building Beis HaMikdash, but if they said, we'll chip in, then they could chip in a way that's really subversive and that really ruins it. You know, it's like, I don't know, you have to do a job in the house. It could take you an hour. If your kids help you, it takes you 2 hours, right? And if your enemy helps you, then it takes you 3 years, because everything he does, he messes up a little and loses something and accidentally, you know, gets something wet or accidentally gets it burnt by a cigarette and builds it wrong, and you have to take it down again, and they would never build a Beis HaMikdash. So that's Rifyon Yerdayim, meaning that was a specific side problem, Rifyon Yerdayim. Really, you're going to give to the, I don't want to get specific, we'll get to the next Gemara, but let's take, for example, Rashi's shot in the next Gemara. Really, a guy could give Erchin for Ben Kabayis. Just not when you're starting out in a delicate situation like that. Then they had a specific problem riffing your dying, but the general rule is that a guy can give for Ben Kabayis, and that's why a guy is Marif, and that's why there's Me'ila, and it's not Nignaz. That was a specific historical problem of riffing your dying, and that's why, at least, according to, well, probably according to all the Pshatim here, if we look Tani Chada, One Brisa says that you're Makabel for Bedek Abayis for a guy, and one Brisa says you're not Makabel. Okay, that's enough for now. In the beginning, you don't accept. At the end, you do accept. One of the pshatim, the pshat of Rashi here, which Tosos also accepts, is that it's different in the beginning of the building, the end of the building. And it's only a problem to take the Bedek Abayis, according to Rabbi Yehuda, in a simple pshat. In the beginning of the building, there's an issue with Rifyon Yerdayim, there's a specific historical problem at one specific historical point. That was the problem in the Pasuk in Ezra. But the general rule is that, of course, a guy can give to Bedek Abayis, and there's Me'ilah, it's not Nignaz, and it really goes to Bedek Abayis. And that is why Rabbi Yehuda says a guy is Marich. Okay, Shalom Yisrael. Now, we just have to go back and figure out, before we get back to the Gemara of Avim Aleph, what's the real shita of Rabbi Meir? The simple pshat is that, well, this whole Gemara that we just read today started with the words. What words did we start with today? First two words I read to you? For Rabbi Yehuda. This is all the discussion of Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Meir, there's nothing to talk about, right? According to Rabbi Meir, guy's not matched to Bedek Abayis. That's a simple shot in the Gemara. If you look at Tosfos Rashi, El Me'ata says, the Rabbi Yehuda, El Me'ata in Lo Yimel Bo, the Rabbi Yehuda, Alma Tani Vol Ben Kachi Ve Kavayis Molen Bo, V'man Tirmi Eidah Vade. Right, this is what I just read into the Gemara, right, this Brice of Me'ila.
You probably have Shabbos clock went off.
Can you just, you have Ellie's phone number?
I think so.
Text him, ask him if he can get our air conditioning on.
It worked before, it's 590 was working.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, it must be that we're going to say really good Torah now and really understand the sugar properly. That's why the Sultan's matriach himself so much that he interferes with the air conditioning.
I'm working on electrical.
Oh, the guy's outside in the hall?
Yeah.
Alright, do me a favor, just run outside in the hall, ask him if he could, if it's at all possible for him to give us back our air conditioning. Tell him we'll give him 20 shekel later. Let's go. The pshat of Rabbi Meir, what is supposed to say? Well, it must be Rabbi Yehuda who says there's Me'ila, because who is it going to be? It has to be Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Because Rameer learned the halacha from Lolo Chavalano, Al Bnei Inu Vichom Mech Jishin, but it's Klal. Because Rameer, there is no Bnei Gemayis for going in the first place. So it's not a Shaykh talking about Me'ila, not Me'ila. It just doesn't exist in the first place. But Rabbi Yehuda Me'ila, as you'd like to lefruche, the Maskam Yishim Riffin Yudayim, you talk to Mashap and Rameer, the Halesa, the Rameer, Lo Sover, Hay Taima, Dim Keim, and all the Hilfza, the Inu Vichom Merichim, and Krogu Lolo Chavalano. Okay, so Tosef says, and don't say that really, it can be Rehuda or Rav Meir. Rav Meir also agrees with Rifyon Yerdayim. I mean, we get to the end of Rifyon Yerdayim. Don't say Rav Meir also agrees with Rifyon Yerdayim. Because Rav Meir also agreed with Rifyon Yerdayim, that would mean it was a specific historical problem. But really, a guy could be, give money to Bedek Abayis. And if a guy can give money to Bedek Abayis, then why can't he be Marich? Then what's the whole svar of Rav Meir not to be Marich? After all, Rava is the one who said Rifyon Yerdayim. And Rava is the one who says that Rav Meir's reason is because of Lola Chevalanu. Okay, so far that's one shot in Tosfos. Right? This is What Dibur Maschil is this? Dibur Maschil Elamiata. Dibur Maschil Elamiata. First half, and I will, we'll fill this in a moment. What's the Shita of Rabbi Meir? The Shita of Rabbi Meir is that Guy cannot be Makdish for Bedek HaBayis. Right? What does Rabbi Meir hold about Rifyon Yadayim? What does Rabbi Meir think about the concept of Rifyon Yadayim? Rabbi Meir doesn't agree with that shot of Rifyon Yadayim, right? Rifyon Yadayim is for Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir doesn't agree with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir holds that fundamentally a guy is mufka from Bet HaKabayis, right? Now, what's the reason for Rabbi Meir's what's the reason for a shita? Very pasha, like we said all along, right? Since Guy can't be Makdish Lebet HaKabayis, then obviously Guy can't be Marich, because Erech didn't go to Bet HaKabayis. What do you say?
It's been a couple minutes. He took it off.
Okay, see. Fine. That's the Pashup Shah in the Sugya. What's the problem Tosus has with this Shah in the Sugya? Vitzarch Iyun. Hey, Vandalir, Mayor Ain Ovichav Misnadvin, Lebet HaKabayis. Hey, Chitran, Zemzem Modrim. Modim shenodrin ha'ovdei chavim lo nodrin lebede kabayis the Rebbe Meir de lechora maslishin domi de erchin demari lebede kabayis. So that's what Tos says. What's the problem? The problem is, what does it mean? What does it mean, nodrin? And then, right, even Rabbi Meir admits a goy is noder. Remember, in our whole perek, we know, as Tosu says, mistama, noder is similar to peril to marech. That's just this mission. The whole perek, there's noder and marech, noder, marech, noder, marech. We all know what noder and marech means. Doesn't mean evaluate and promise. Marech means I say erech of a person is on me and I give the money to Bedek HaBayis. Noder means I say the damim of a person is on me and I give it to Bedek HaBayis. We all know what noder means in the first part of erech. And the rest of erech. So, how can a guy be noder? How can a guy be noder? Because a guy can't give for Bedek HaBayis. So what does it mean a guy is, what does it mean that a guy is, noder? Okay. So that's what Tosus has to leave a little bit. Be dochak, right? What does he say? The dochak lefarish in nodem karmel lemezveach. The chora sees the domi and the erech lemayel lebedek bias. He says you have to say, if you take this shot, you have to say bedochak that it's not parallel. It's not parallel, and it's not like in the rest of the perek. Nodrin equals lamizbeah. Keep in mind, nodrin v'nidarin. Nidarin clearly means someone says the dumb of the guys for Bedek HaBayis. But nodrin doesn't mean the guy says the dumb of you for Bedek HaBayis. It means he says, I'll bring a karban. Okay, it's a dochak shot in the Mishnah, but that's what Tosfos says in order to, the dochak, the only way to keep the pashup shot in the Gemara. The truth is that what makes it a little less dochak is the
Yerushalmi.
Okay, the Achron go to town why Tosfos didn't quote this Yerushalmi. I'm not going to get into that, because the answers are a little too Polish. But the Rishonim on the Sifra, the Ravid on the Sifra, which I had in brackets or something, and the Rashi Shantz, or the Miyokas, the Rashi Shantz, no one's exactly sure who wrote the Rashi Shantz on the Sifra, but it We can call it the Rosh Mishans because, like, the range is between sort of the Rosh Mishans and, like, his second cousin or something. It's not like it was not at all. It wasn't written by someone dissimilar to the Rosh Mishans. So the Rav and the Rosh Mishans both quote from Yerushalmi that Noder means Lamezbeach. Rish Lakish says this in the Yerushalmi, so it's not such a dachuk pshat. You know, if it's good enough for Yerushalmi, why isn't it good enough for us? So we could just add that who agrees with this? Who agrees with this? Rish Lakish, the Yerushalmi, and the Ravid and the Rash on Toras Kohanim on the Sifra. So a lot of people agree with the partially reading our Gemara that Rabbi Meir holds like we thought all along. Lo lochem v'lanu means goyim are fundamentally excluded from Erech Bayis. They can't be marichim, they can't be nodun, they can't do anything. Nodun our Mishnah b'dochak means. They're a towel for the Mizbeach. We see, by the way, okay, let's read on in Tosus though. Tosus adds, however, the Shema Tov Lefarish, right? That Shema is going to be big Shema. Maybe it's better to give a different shot in the Gemara. The Rav 100 Meilam Askanas will be 100 Meilam Armei Kar De Helchlech or Meir Mikrad Lo Lachem Velo Lanu. That Rava changed his mind. That's the question. What's Ella Amar Rava? Simple shot in Ella Amar Rava is that he's rejecting what Rav Chista said in Yom Avimi in analyzing Rav Yehuda. But he says no. Including the Ella Amar Rava is that he rejects what he himself said. You don't have to get Rava to work with Rava. Ella Amar Rava means Rava changed his mind. At first he thought that Lo Lachem V'lanu was a... It's a little funny. I don't know what he thought at first. Okay. At first, he thought Lolo Chembalot means Goyim are Mukka from Kachim Erech Abayis. In the end, he changed his mind and decided that Lekuli Alma, it's only because of Riff and Yudai. So this is one shot. Here is a second shot. Tosos. Dibur Amaschel Ella Me'ata. Second half. Right, the Shema Tov Lomar, is that the sheet of Meir is that a guy can be makdish lebene kabayis, right? A guy can be makdish just fine for bene kabayis, and agrees the pasuk was only because of Rifyon Yadayim. He agrees the pasuk is only because of Rifyon Yadayim. And now Nodrin makes perfect sense. Nodrin means that Afal Pi She'eino Marich Noder Domin Lebedek Abayis. Right? Everyone agrees that he can give to Bedek Abayis if it's Nodrin, Neder Domin. He's only excluded specifically from Erechim. Now, what's the one thing that he admits here? Says Rava retracted reason is not because of Lo Lachem V'lanu V'chuli. Right? That's only specific historical problem of Riff and Yadayim. That's not the reason behind Rav Meir Shita. What is the reason behind Rav Meir Shita? In the end, according to the Shema Tov Lomar of Tosfos, that's the weak point. Meaning, if there's one sheet that had a weak point, everyone would agree with it, right? The weak one here is the dachuk of, right? This is the weak point. Here is the dachuk of Nodrin. Here is the weak point, which is, if we just said it makes more sense to compare a gun to Tonto Androgynous and not the Chir Shot Mekatan, and the only way to justify Rav Meir is because Lo Lachem V'lanu, once we take that away, Rav Meir looks unjustified. What is his reason to compare God to Shere Kereshot V'katan when it really makes more sense to compare God to Tumtum Pantrophnos? That's unclear. Right? That's the weak point. We don't know where Meir Svar is. One thing is very clear in terms of Psak, according to the Shema Tov Lomar at the end of Tosos, of course we should pass like Rabbi Yehuda. Why should we pass Lim Yehuda? A, we always pass Lim Yehuda against Rav Meir, and his Tom is Mestaber, and Rav Meir's not Mestaber. So of course we should pass him like Rav Yehuda. That's not the right reason. But of course we should pass him like Rav Yehuda. Now, so Taka, what is the reason? Could you think of a justification of why you would compare a guy to a Chereshot of a Katan and not to a Trumtum Androgynos if the exclusion of Chereshot of a Katan seems to be because they have no Das?
It's just a side issue that they have no Das. They are in the parishes. I mean, when you remove the Trumtum Androgynos, you said they're not in the parishes. They're not half of the Katan. A Chereshot of a Katan are in the parishes. It says that they can't do it. I know that's not something we've
okay. Okay, maybe if I were to say what you say, you would say, after all, Tumdan Drosan Aren Androgynous Aren Zakhar Nikeva. A guy is a Zakhar Nikeva. I found in some of the Achronim two possible theorems to give the logic very mayor, one of which is a little cryptic. Baruch Mishib Gvul Almanah. maybe you could say, I quoted here from the, I put on the sheet, right, the son of the Tiferes Yisrael. I know, I'm just curious, did anyone figure out what the Rosh Tevos Aleph Beis Yod meant in this Makor sheet? In the, I'd be hard pressed to imagine anyone would. But, because it stands for Omar Baruch Yehuda. Baruch Yehuda is the son of the Tiferes Yisrael, who wrote the parentheses when he published his father's book. It's not a standard parentheses. So, Amar Baruch Yehuda, okay, Lamedev is Luli Mistafina, right? That's more standard. So, his son, this isn't the Tiferes Yisrael himself, this is his son Baruch Yehuda. What was his name? His name was Yisrael Lifshitz? So I think this is his son Baruch Yehuda Lifshitz. Amar Baruch Yehuda Luli Mistafina Nirli Dibaha Pligi, he wanted to say something. A noopshot for a mayor. Why do you need a noopshot for a mayor? Because of the Shema Yishlomar in Tosos. So here we have the Vino. He said that no, he's like a Cher Shot V'Katan because Cher Shot V'Katan have no Das, and a guy has what's his lashon the Mahanech Chosher Das. Is that Daito Mekolkal? So therefore, there's a common denominator. Common denominator is no das and daito mekolkal. Right? One and Chirshadugan don't have das, and a guy does have das. He just filled his das with the wrong things. Right? His just das is crooked. Otherwise, he would be a Jew. Right? If his das was straight, he would accept the Torah and become a Jew. So obviously, his das is crooked. Okay. So that is. It's a little funny, like, what does he mean by Daito Makoko? Like, you know, does he mean, you know, Goyim are, like, not as smart as Jews? Goyim are like, you know, children and imbeciles? I mean, hard to imagine, right? I mean, I haven't done the math and the statistics figure out if the Jews get into Harvard, you know, 3% more likely than the Goyim or not. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about. Bigadol, there are plenty of smart Goyim, plenty of smart Jews. Plenty of less smart Goyim, plenty of less smart Jews. We don't find that Goyim walk around and can't understand regular, even issues of religion, or transactions. So Lechor, what he means here by Mekolkol, is not that Goyim are mentally handicapped, but that Goyim are philosophically, Goyim are philosophically mistaken. Jews have they have Das, if they're not a fair show to a content, once they're an adult, and in their das, they believe the right things with their das. Chershot V'Katan, really, we don't know what he believes. He doesn't really have enough das. And a guy has plenty of das, but uses das to believe the wrong things. So it is like Chershot V'Katan, the chisaron in the das. Here it's a fascinating idea. After all, we don't find the kilkul of the das of a guy excludes him from anything else. Like, do we ever find any place else in the Torah where a guy is like a chair? I mean, there are plenty of places in the Torah where a guy is not part of a religion. So obviously, a guy doesn't count for a minion. A guy can't be mutzi with kiddush. Okay, that's no chiddush. But do we ever find where a guy is treated as having no das because of a kilko? Because his das is somehow mistaken, etc.
Does he have
A guy does not have nemunah, but I wouldn't say that. Okay, although they never say it's because of das, you might want to compare it to? Exactly. That's a great comparison. We do find in Gittin Daf Chaf Gimel or something, or a few places, when it comes to doing things lishma, we find that there's a difference, you know, regular Jew, a chirishat rukatan, and a goy. A regular Jew, everyone in this room, we can do something lishma, we make matzah, it's lishma, we write a get, it's lishma. A chirishat rukatan cannot do things lishma, but if gadol amal gavav, the gadol is madrichim, if the gadol guides him, he can help him do it lishma. A guy can't do things lishma, and even if you guide the guy, he can't do it lishma, because we say he's an adult, a daif nafshik over. What do you mean guide him? There's no das. So you can take over his das, you can manipulate him in a good way, in a useful way. Go to Lomel Gabbah. A guy has his own das, an adult, he has his own thoughts, you can't tell him what to think, you can't manipulate him. Yeah, maybe there are manipulative people out there, but I'm talking as a general rule in halacha, right? You can't manipulate, he has his own das, and maybe that's, so why can't the guy write lishma? So let the guy write lishma. So okay, you can say it in many different ways. You don't have to say, but we see here that there's a chisaron lishma. Also, the katan just doesn't. He's not smart enough to think lishma unless you help him. And the guy is smart enough to think lishma, but doesn't connect to lishma. Doesn't relate to lishma. Lishma doesn't have meaning for him in his mind because the phrase "daita makokel" is only invented by his first child's son. But because his mind is on other things, his mind is just as much power. But the power is used for other things, so maybe that could be, I wouldn't say a raya, but a parallel that we see that goyim are lacking a certain, not because of a lack of intelligence, but just because of a different philosophical orientation, are lacking the ability to connect to certain religious concepts of Judaism.
You could probably say today that a lot of Jews don't understand what a neder is, they don't understand what the shmoy or what a chalos or any of these things. So, I don't do that in this opinion, maybe you could. But certainly, goyim aren't trained in this type of thinking, so making a neder, they don't know the significance of making a neder.
Okay, so I would just have two bones to pick with you. Number one is, I'm not disagreeing with you, just clarifying that, okay, but the halacha makes general categories for Jews and goyim, we're not going to analyze each Jew. Number two, it's not that a guy doesn't understand neder, because the guy is no there in the Dharma Dabski Yisrael. The guy can be no there bringing a cow for a shlamim. The guy can be no there that, remember, the guy can't say erkecha alai, but he can't say damecha alai. A guy can be noder to bring money to these things. He understands that he's a neder to donate something. I think maybe if you want to add something, too, I'm always reluctant to add philosophy, but if you want to add some philosophy to the son of the Tiferes Yisrael, what he might say is that erkin is a very philosophically tricky concept. Now again, you might say the same thing about Dhamim, but this goes back to the Brisker Rav Sekira. If you assume not like the Brisker Rav, if I say your value I'm giving to them is Be'ach, Alpilum this, I'm really just saying I'm giving money, which happens to correspond to your value. When I say your Erech, your basic nature is to the Mizbeach, I'm really giving you and I'm being pulled to you to the Beis HaMikdash. We're dealing with a very philosophically sensitive concept here, right? The concept of human sacrifice, right? The concept of the mistake of Yiftach. Right? We're dealing with a very sensitive concept here. Exactly how do you give people to the Beis HaMikdash? Can't be too weak. Can't be too strong. And maybe what the Torah is saying is that philosophically sensitive concept, a chereshot of a katan can't do. Because they can't do any concepts, because they can't even understand a regular philosophical concept. And a guy can't do because perhaps, from his religious orientation, the guy is not going to be able to properly appreciate the necessary balance here, and he's going to come from, or maybe he's coming from a different religion where they have different ideas about these things, and he's going to misunderstand it. And therefore the Torah excluded him because he can't appreciate the subtlety of Erechin. So maybe, after all, why doesn't Daito Makoko stop her from the Dora of the Doubles? The answer is maybe add that Daito Makoko is a problem Davka by Erechin because of the philosophical subtlety, and again, I mean philosophical subtlety, the guy's not smart enough to understand subtle concepts. Goyim could be just as smart as Jews. But, since he's not coming from a commitment to the same philosophical values that we are, then perhaps The Torah did not trust the guy, or did not assume that the guy could properly relate to, on the one hand, the balance between really giving it to the Beis HaMikdash, a wholehearted giving to the Beis HaMikdash, and yet the fact that that can't take place in the literal sense. Okay, but you can make of it what you will.
Clearly, you're not that Howard in here doesn't make any sense, because Chershon the Kutim is a global problem. And you're tending to take a global problem and pretend that it's a local problem that applies to Kutim.
I admit that I'm trying to do the best I can with his first shrub.
It's clearly a riot for all this. I mean, a Jew has 613 mitzvahs, a good guy has Shema mitzvahs b'nei Noah, and he doesn't have any mitzvah to become Jewish. He's in a different philosophical, not a bad, he's in a different philosophical state.
Okay, let me work off that, maybe taking a different direction. Rowan, there's a nice sefer called Karen David that I think I might have mentioned once before. It's written by Adam Friedman's Rebbe from Yisodei Torah, blessed memory, and not the Rebbe, the Yeshiva. Rebbe's listening to the Shtark of Mev Esrim. It's an interesting yeshiva, Yisodei Torah. It's like the one yeshiva out of all the yeshivas in Israel that taught kids how to read Gemara. Under the assumption that that is really the most useful way to spend your year if you want to become a Talmud Chacham. And they ended up closing because I think to succeed you have to give people the most exciting and fun way to spend their year, not the most intellectually useful way. Alright, so that's the start of the door in our door of Gullus. I borrowed Rabbi Kefet's copy of the Sefer, and he has an interesting shot here. Dafkin is for mayor. He said, no, what's the common denominator between Chereshot of Katan and Goy? Chereshot of Katan and Goy are both Lav B'nei Mitzvah. Right? Chereshot of Katan is Tzur Potter Mi Mitzvos, and a Goy is also Potter Mi Mitzvos. And what is Rabbi Meir's comparison? Maybe Rabbi Meir's comparison is, Rabbi Meir's comparison is that Erchin is, it might also be based on the philosophical subtlety, but not directly. That other Nedarim are straightforward Nedarim. I say I'll give a cow, I'll give a cow. I say I'll give the value of a cow, or the value of a person, or the value of a fire truck. I can give the value of that. I say I'll give, the amount of dollars of the first 9 perfect numbers put together. That's fine. I give whatever amount of money I want. Erchin is different because it's not Erech Kli, I don't have to give anything. It doesn't mean the value in the simple sense. Erech of my arm and my leg, which I could live without, I don't have to give anything. It's a special part of the Torah that I say Erech of a person that I have to give a certain fixed amount of money in the Torah. So, that is a mitzvah of the Torah. The chiddush of the Torah is that there's a mitzvah of Erechin. Anyone who pledged Erechin, there's a mitzvah to fulfill the parish of Erechin. But it's not a naturally binding neder. Naturally, the neder of Erechin is not binding. That's why I say, the Erechin of this desk, I have to give nothing. Because the Torah didn't talk about Erechin of a desk. If the Torah doesn't talk about it, it doesn't exist. Erech is not a naturally binding neder. It's a mitzvah to give Erechin. Now, why? Then you can get philosophical if you want. Why is it a special mitzvah? For philosophical reasons, which need not concern us right now, logically. Therefore, it's a special mitzvah. He says, just like Chereshot V'Katan, and it's the Chiddush. It's not that they have no das. It's that they're potter from mitzvos. That's why. Someone should ask me, Kasha. But, okay, you're about to ask me the Kasha. Let's start with the mem. I don't even have 10 seconds here. Anyway, that's what he says. Scherchot becomes their potter from mitzvos, they're not in this parsha. So too, a guy, since he's potter from mitzvos, is not part of this parsha. And I could have answered your question with something I said back in the first year, except that you asked a question on that also. So I'll tell you in a moment. So if you say Erechin is not naturally binding, but rather only a mitzvah of Parshas Erechin, and therefore whoever is Potter Mi Mitzvos is Potter Mi Erchin, and that's why he calls Potter Mi Erchin, because he's Potter Mi Mitzvos and is not a natural netter. Okay, Kornbluth asks a tough kasha. He says that would work better if a 12-year-old boy was Potter from Erchin. But we find that a Mufo Samach Le'ish is Chayiv in Erchin, even though he's not Chayiv in Mitzvos. Okay, but if I want, I can be Nidcha, I can say that after all, he also doesn't have Das. The Chiddush of Mufo Samach Le'ish is not that he has enough Das for Nidorim, even though he doesn't have enough Das for Mekka Homevkar. The Chiddush of Mufo Samach Le'ish is that he's the Shrouder for the Mitzvah of Erchin. Although then, we get back into our previous conversation.
You can also say once you make an Erchin, then you have. There's a low sase of not paying it. So it's clearly someone who's 12 years old and is close to being higher mitzvahs can't go over a low sase.
Right. That's okay. That's the dochak. So that's lemaisa. Whatever hesber you give to a mayor here is going to be a little tricky. If you say it's no das, then the parallel parashah becomes not so great. If you say it has no mitzvos, you're going to have to explain how Mufo Samach Le'ish fits in.
But neder is somehow always mitzvah-oriented?
What?
But neder isn't a mitzvah?
I know, perhaps, especially when the Amin Lum we saw that some Russell broke into Russell Lehedyo, that if a guy makes a neder, he's doing a transaction. Either a nedava is a transaction of a chifetz, and a neder is a transaction of a chov. So there is, you know, there may or may not be a mitzvah for a good kind of neder, maybe not. It's just that the neder is chal in terms of the transaction between him and Hekdesh.
I don't know, right, but the chayim is by korban pesach, by the korban that's mishpat for a korban. And so that means the korban is not, the guy is mufka in mitzvah, and the korban is only potter.
That is a very, very good point. That has to do with the big shach in the first simon of Yerodeah. Right? Why can a katan shecht and not a guy if shechita depends on mitzvahs according to Tosos as opposed to the Rosh Hashanah, the Rambam? I'm not getting to that now. Okay, yesh l'ayin harbei in all this. These are just some suggestions. We will make of them what we will. Okay, so these are the two radical drachim, the black and white drachim of understanding what Rebbe Yoshita is. Either he's really strict exclusion of guy benedict bias, excluded from the whole category, reinterpret nodrin. Or, no, you have to take a pshuto. You really can give Tibetic advice. It's just that historical problem of riffing your dying. If it's a historical problem of riffing your dying, then what's he doing in our whole Mishnah? And you have to reinterpret him. However, there's an in-between shita also. One or two in-between shita. I mean, there's one general in-between shita. The shita Gubetzis here already suggests an in-between shita. I don't remember if he's suggesting the name of someone, but says the shita Mekubetzes. Then what is Rav Meir shita? About Bedek Habayis, that he starts. Before I get to shita Mekubetzes, I just want to point out, even though Tosos is maskana in Dermaska Ella. Me'ata sounds like the second derech. So it's a shema tov lomer. He's not sure of himself, and it sounds like he really held more like the first derech, because when he goes on to daf vav and aleph, he forgets the shema tov lomer. So he starts to tell what's first, what's last, whatever. Lemaisa, it's not as if the shema tov lomer is maskan. It's such a shema. And in daf vav and aleph, he interprets based on the first half of the Masechta Me'ata. Why? Because it says, Tani chad overcham shiznad lomer kabaisim kavli menu v'yim tomer v'lishni harav meyer harav Yehuda. There's a steer in the prices whether you take that advice from a guy or not. Why not just say one is Rameh or one is Yehuda? The answer is no. Yishlom din kedusha ve'ena, kedosha ve'ena kedosha v'ibayilei. Deimi kamli in the way gemaitz with kedosha hi, yamash the advice of Yehuda. No, because if one is Rameh or Yehuda, Rameh's one wouldn't just say we're not Mekabel. It would say it's not even Hekdesh in the first place. Because Rameh, the Hekdesh is not even Chal in the first place. That's why neither of these prices could be Rameh. Mekabel and Mekabel sounds like it's Hekdesh, but we don't know if we like it. But according to Rabbi Meir, the Hekdesh did never chal in the first place. And that's what he says, the same thing in the second Rassel Tanichad. Both Tanichad said the same thing. Don't say one is Rabbi Meir, one is Rabbi Yehuda. Because if it was Rabbi Yehuda, it should have said Eina Kadosha. So here, both the Rassel Tanichad is clearly saying, according to Rabbi Meir, Eina Kadosha. There's no Hekdesh in the first place. It's just Chulin Gemurim. It's never chal, like the beginning of Tosh Rassel Alameyata. Okay, so it sounds like the Shema Tov Lomar, at least if you read Tosfim straight, was an idea, but he wasn't committed to it. That's what Shema Tov Lomar, not the Yesh Lomar. maybe we can learn from here. Whenever Tosfim says Shema Tov Lomar, he's not really committed to it. Because we see that he didn't carry that through the rest of the sugya. Okay, the Sheet of Levetzis says a different shot. He starts off like the Shema Tov Lomar. He says, no, really a guy can be Makdish Lebedek Habayis, right? Let's see if I can find it on my page. Divide the Rehudim Olam the Krami Shemrifin Yadayim. The Shanya the Krother Meir Nami Hachim Shemrifin Yadayim. The Krah only. Is only. Because of Rifyon Yadayim. In which case, the end of this makes perfect sense. Afopish Eino Ma'arif. No, they're dumbim. Levedek Habayis. Because the guy really can't on Levedek Habayis. It's just a historical problem, Rifyon Yadayim. Ah, what's the difference between the end of Tosfos? He doesn't say rubber retracted. He thinks it's Dachut say rubber retracted. Why does Dachut say rubber retracted? That says Elo Marava. So if you want to, you can say the Elo's going back 12 lines ago, not so crazy. It's Dachut say rubber retracted because then, what was the, Sfarir Meir? So he says, no, I'll read it inside. Sorry, I'm reading it from the version of the page that was Vahadar, but it should be more or less the same as what you have on a different, on your page in the Vilna Shas. Okay, what's he saying? He's saying that it's only because of Rifyon Yadayim. But it's not that the way we thought in the first place. Since a goy can't be marked, so the device obviously can't be marked. It's not that Lolochem Velonu means it's obvious that it has to be the pshat. It's that Rav Meir has a scale here. There's Ish and there's Bnei Yisrael. You have to put Marich on one side of the scale, Nerich on the other side of the scale, see which way it tilts. I think I mixed metaphors here. You have to choose. You have two choices. Either, meaning, you're not from scratch figuring out what a goy can do. Right? You have two choices based on the psukim. Either marich velo nerach or nerach velo marich. You have to pick one of those two choices. So you have to pick which is better. Is it better that a goy shouldn't be nerach or better that he shouldn't be marich? Not better meaning, you know, what you feel like. Better meaning based on all the evidence from the rest of Kol Dar Kula. So he says, in order to pick which is better, all you need to do is put something on that side of the scale that tilts the scale. You have two things, two like equally balanced possibilities. Maybe Marech lo Nerach, maybe Nerach lo Marech. You don't know which way to interpret the Psukim. So Rav Yehuda has his way of being tilting the scales. He says, well, is he more like Hereshot V'Katan or more like Tumtum Madrogonos? And he finds a Svar and tilts the scale a little. Where in Meir, he doesn't need a full Svar why a guy is not Marech. He just needs something to tilt the scales to make it more likely that he's not Ma'arif than that he's not Nerach. Rifyon Yadayim is just a historical circumstance that happened. It's just in some historical circumstances. But it's enough to tilt the scales. If we have to say, did the Torah exclude a goy from Nerach or Ma'arif? What did Rameir say? Rameir says, well, to exclude it from Nerach, I can't think of any practical reason why that would make sense. Like, why shouldn't I give the money to a goy? Can't think of any good reason. To exclude it from Ma'arech, I can think of a little bit of a reason. Maybe because it's really not so good that going don't need to Bedek Habayis anyway, because sometimes it could be a problem of riffing your dying. Therefore, since it's really not so good that going don't need to Bedek Habayis anyway, because sometimes it could be a problem of riffing your dying, therefore that's a good enough reason to tilt the scale and say that he's not Ma'arech. So what do I mean? What I mean here is, Lo lachem v'lanu is not an independent svara. Why? Guy ain't no marich. but rather just tilts the scale. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is that there are two possibilities. One possibility is ma'arich ve'eino ne'arach. Here, there's no svara at all why you're going to be ma'arich ve'eino ne'arach. The other possibility is ne'arach ve'eino ma'arich. Here, there is a small svara that sometimes it's problematic, right? Sometimes it's problematic. In some historical circumstances, it'll be okay. In some historical circumstances, it won't be okay. There's some slight possibility of a kilkel if a guy gives money to Bedek HaBayis. Now, that's not really a svara, because after all, a guy is allowed to give money to Bedek HaBayis. It's not a svara to asur or to be mafkia a guy from donating Bedek HaBayis. But it's a svara that if we have to pick two possibilities, even a small svara is enough to pick one possibility over the other, and therefore, there's not any svar why you shouldn't give the erech of going to the Beis HaMikdash. But there's some small svar why a goy shouldn't give erech to the Beis HaMikdash. The small svar is that sometimes it's bad for goyim to give the Bedek HaBayis. That small svar is enough to tilt the scale and have Rabbi Meir make his, make his drasha. That's the pshat. That's the pshat of Shita Gubetzis. And he's having his cake and eating it too. Right, on the one hand, he's keeping the notion of the Mishnah. A guy can give to Bedek HaBayis, but he's also keeping the Mistabra, the Hilchos of Mistabra of Rav and Rabbi Meir. There is a Svara for Rabbi Meir's Pshat. What's the Svara? That all you need is a very small factor in order to tilt the scale. And probably, how would we add some words of Hesper to this? If we say the Parsha of Erechin is a Chiddush in the first place, right, really, the Parsha of Erechin is a Kiddush. Let's go back to what we said before. Right, really, there should just be donating values of things, values of anything, and regular things that everyone understands. And you don't need special lists of monetary values in the Chumash for. Erechin is a Kiddush. It doesn't apply to desks. It doesn't apply to arms and legs. It has seemingly arbitrary numbers listed in the Chumash. You know, obviously, brings down, but let's assume that nothing in the Chumash is arbitrary, but it's certainly we have trouble understanding exactly why those numbers should be there. that's a Chiddush. So what's the point? The point is, when it comes to a guy being no dare money for Bedek HaBayis, he can. So we'll have to figure out when there's a problem, Riffin Yadayim will deal with it. Right? But when it comes to Erechim, which is a Chiddush of Bedek HaBayis, why would the Torah be Mechadish Bedek HaBayis for a guy who it's not always good for him to give the Bedek HaBayis? If the Torah is being mechadish, a special parsha for Bedek HaBayis, it's enough to be mechadish that parsha for Jews to give, which is always a positive thing. The Torah is not being mechadish a new parsha of Bedek HaBayis for goyim, who might sometimes come with problems. And therefore, we could say, once the Xeris of Kosp that limits the special parsha, maybe the parsha was limited to Jews and not goyim, because it's not kedai for Hashem to make a special new parsha of Bedek HaBayis for goyim, when it might or may not be a good idea depending on the circumstances. Okay, that's the pshat of the Shittim Gubetzes. Who else, which prominent Rishon seems to hold like the Shittim Gubetzes? Is Derech? Which prominent Rishon holds like the Derech of the Shittim Gubetzes, as opposed to the two radical drachim, one way or the other? Seemingly the Rambam. Why do I say seemingly the Rambam? Because, says the Rambam in Erechin, Perek Aleph, Halacha Vav, Ha'akum Nerech Avalo Marech, he paskins like Rabbi Meir. Right? He paskins like Rabbi Meir. Why does he paskin like Rabbi Meir? Now here we need some background. Why does the Rambam paskin like Rabbi Meir? There's a rule. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, what's the rule? The rule is Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. I mean, if not for that rule, we might not get off the ground. The rule is Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. Not only that, tiny Reb Yehuda Misaber. Reb Yehuda has something Misaber about him to the Chairs of the Covenant and Androgynos. So why were the Rambam Pasalik Rebbe Meir? It seems to me the Rebbe is right. There's only one explanation why the Rambam Pasalik Rebbe Meir. What is that? Amar Rav Posik Rebbe Meir, Rebbe Yehuda Cholik, Rebbe Marek Lo Nerech, the Kaimelon Rebbe Yehuda. Kaimelon Rebbe Yehuda, the Rebbe means as the general rule, right? It's an Erevin, this Gemara. Memhei or something like that, Memvav, someplace around there, Memdalid. Someplace around there, okay. So the after Misham the Amar Rava or Rava Hilchazak Reb Meir Mistaber. The Rama must have passed like Reb Meir because Hilchazak Reb Meir Mistaber because he fits Lulach and Belundum. Now, if the Rama says Hilchazak Reb Meir Mistaber, then he can't hold like the end of Tosos. According to the end of Tosos, Rava retracted and Reb Meir has nothing to do with Lulach and Belundum. So he must hold like either Pshat 1 or Pshat 3. How do we tell if he holds like Pshat 1 or Pshat 3? Well, just tell if he's no Dilabedic Abayas or not. Right? Tell if he can be Machabedic Abayas or can't be Machabedic Abayas. What did the Rambam say in Aleph Yad Aleph? Akum Sha'amar Dami Alai or Dami Ploni Alai. No Sankafi Nidro that he does give. Ve'en Nofel Alishka Shein Mekam Akum Nidavo Ned Vilchazik Abedic Abayas or Abedic Yushalayim Shein Ember Lulachem Velon Ulilos Beis, etc. V'namar V'lachem Echelik Utsdaka V'zikron Yushalayim. However, we don't actually use it for Abedic Abayas. Uma Yasebahen, what do you do with them? Yivdok Akum Adas Mi Nadrim Nadrim Adas Shol Yisuyu Beis in Mashiyur Lehem Chuz Abedic Abayas Abedic Yushalayim V'mon Yushalayim V'darti Yigunzu. He says that what is Rav Meir Shita? Exactly what the Gemara says for Rav Yehuda. That Yigunzu, and not only that, but in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim, what does it say about a guy who donates to Vedic Abayas? He quotes the word of Avim Aleph, right? Lichatchila, we don't makabel from him. B'di'evad, the Dorsha Einim Asoyim are makabel, the Masoyim are not makabel. It seems clear that a guy can be no dare Levedic Abayas. That a guy can be no dare Levedic Abayas. So he clearly does not have Tosis Pshat in the Mishnah. So, I'll tell you in a moment why I'm calling it 3.1. The Rambam clearly agrees with the Derech Lashita and he says why. Because he says, a guy can be Makdish Lebedek Habayis. The only difference is, he says in at least some circumstances, but it's Nignas. That's what the Shita and Gatsas doesn't say. He thinks Nignas is a Maskana, not just a Havamina. And and it's not exact. Sorry.
And just not doesn't say well, why you think that this is 3.1, not 1.1.
Okay. I am.
It's much closer to Tosfos.
Okay, we're arguing about semantics. The reason is because it's Shana Nodrin.
Because
he says Nodrin means you could be mean Bedek Abayis. That's the reason. But you're right. At a certain point, it becomes a matter of semantics. What is this? Because it can be Makdish Levedic Abayis, and therefore, Levedic Abayis. Whether it's used for Levedic Abayis is a separate issue. But one thing that's a little different, I guess you'd be a little in between. You could call him. But I think it's similar in, because it's similar in this. It says Rav Meir, here it's a little tricky, right? He doesn't explicitly say whether or not it's because Rifyon or Dayim. Right? He doesn't explicitly say whether or not it's because Rifyon or Dayim. Quite possibly not. Although the first group seem to assume yes.
The Gemara contrasts Rifyon and Dayim and Nignas and Kibasim's Nignas, so
that's
going to be difficult.
Okay, but they're only contrasted because of the Elan, that doesn't bother him. So Rav Meir, unclear if Rav Meir agrees this is unclear in the Rambam, right? It's unclear in the Rambam if Rav Meir agrees that it's because of Rifyon Yudayim or not. He says it's Nignas, that Nignas because of Rifyon Yudayim. Or is it Nignaz because of a more fundamental problem? That's a little unclear. But in terms of the Pshat in Rava, he says the same thing that Shidim Gvet says. That's why I wanted to make him a version of Shidim Gvet says. Because in terms of the Pshat in Rava, There are three pshatim in Rava. Tosos, Ravid, Rashi Shan says, a guy cannot be makdish bedek abayis, it just doesn't exist. No Jew means mizbeach. The end of Tosos says, a guy can be makdish lebedek abayis. And Rava retracted, and there's really no good source that we know of for Meir's halacha. The Rama would have to be like the Shidduch Betzes in saying, right, this is what the Mefarshim say for the Rambam, I think, or like Mishnah or whoever says this for the Rambam. The Rambam would be like the Shidduch Betzes. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is that the Rambam would be like the Shidduch Betzes in that lo lechem v'lono doesn't mean a guy can't be marich. A guy can be no lebedek vice. We just don't accept it. It's just nidnas. So what would the Rambam say? He would say the same svara. It's not an independent svara by goyin or marich. Rava didn't mean because lo lechem v'lono a guy can't be marich and it's impossible for him to be marich. No. It could be possible to be marich. He can't be makdish v'bedek abayis. What the Rambam meant is, since if he was makdish v'bedek abayis, we would be going, is it? Therefore, it's mistaber that if you have to pick, did the Torah mean marich lo nerach or nerach lo marich? Well, it's more mistaber the Torah meant he wouldn't be marich, because why are the Torah mechadish to parshim to be marich if we're going to be going, is it? Right? So it's the same idea that, what do I mean by this? Let's see if I can stick this in. Since if he was marich, we wouldn't be mekabel, it would go to Gneza, therefore, it's more likely that he's eino marich than that he's eino nerach. It's not pashut that because of lo lechem v'lono he can't be marich. If not for the pasuk, he would be marich. It's not pashut he can't be marich. Because, after all, he can't give the Bedek Abayis, but we don't accept it. So then it makes sense. If the Torah is a mind of guy, with the Torah is a mind Nerach or Marech, it's more sense that the Torah is a mind Marech. Why? Because if he gave it, we wouldn't accept it, we'd be gonis it. So it doesn't make more sense the Torah told him not to give it in the first place. The Torah is being chadish a new parsha of Erechin and excludes a guy on one side of the deal. It doesn't make more sense that it excludes a guy from being Marech, since if he was Marech, it wouldn't be useful anyway. That's what I mean, Yosef. Now, you agree with me that in terms of the pshat of how the Mahalach, the Gemara, and what the Sfarah of Rameir and the Mishnah is, he's the same as the Shita of Gebetzes. In terms of the sheet of Rameir, he's in between. Why? The Shita of Gebetzes in the end of Tosafot say he can be Makdish Lebedek Abayis, Sholem al Yisrael is just a historical problem in one time. The main Shita of Tosafot says he can't be Makdish at all. The Rambam is in between, he can't be Makdish. But if he's Makdish, it's Nignaz, not only in some historical circumstances, depending on the exact time and place. There's a general halacha that if he's Makdish, it's Nignaz. Lo lechem v'lono, the Rambam says, is not only because of historical circumstances. It's a general rule of lo lechem v'lono. Okay. Now, that's shot in the Gemara and Rav Meir. Okay. This, of course, affects the issue of Psak. Let's just go back to the issue of Psak. What should the Psak be? According to the end of Tosos, Pashut, we should say the general rule that the Psak is like Rabbi Yehuda, because there's no Mistaber Taime anymore. There is no more Mistaber Hilchasa. If you take, however, the Rambam and the Shidduch Betzes of the mainstream Tosos, then you could say halacha kirav meir because mistaber hilchasei, and that is the Rambam. Or what's the Ravid's objection? Why did the Ravid object? If the Ravid held like the Shema Tov Lomer Tosi to object and say, what do you mean it's not mistaber hilchasei? That was retracted. But does the Ravid hold mistaber hilchasei is retracted? We know from what he says in Taras Kohanim. The Ravid holds like the beginning of Tosfos Masechta Lemeiata. He holds Mistaber Hilchasei big time like Rav Meir. So why would he object to the Rambam? For a technical reason, he says, "V'lo mechover d'lo midcha hilchasei psika b'mistabra v'Rav Meir hilchasei psika k'Rav Yehuda." He says that even though it's more Mistaber like Rav Meir, the rule of hilchasei psika overrides Mistabras. They have a technical machlokas here, or could say halacha Kirab Yehuda, because Klalei Hapsak beat Mistaber. That's what he says. He says, I admit that it's Mistaber like Remeir. So I hold Derech 1 in the Sugya. I admit it's Mistaber like Remeir. However, I still think it looks like Yehuda because the Klali Psak beat the Mistaber. Okay, that's a technical folks. Mistaber versus the Klali Psak. Who do you follow? The more one is more Mistaber, the one who has a Klali Psak. Okay, but according to Shemitah Vlomer, it's Pashmi Hilak like Yehuda because there is no Mistaber like Remeir. But that's not the Ravitz reason, as we know from Torah's Kohanim and from what he says in the Mishnah Torah. The Ravitz consistent. That's not the reason he rejects the Rambam. Okay, what else do we have to figure out here? We have to figure out going on in the Gemara a little. Okay, John, I'm going to need your help. Let's go back to Gemara Daf Vav Amud Aleph. Okay. Tani chada, ovi chom shishnadiv nidovet delek v'ayis mekavlon imenim. Tani idach ein mekavlon. Amr hilo, Rav Yochanan lo kashya ha betchila ha besof. Right, no stira, there's a difference between the tchila and the sof. And then we even have a right. Amr v'asir Rav Yochanan, betchila filomayim melechim mekavlon. And besof, dov mesuyim mekavlon, dov she'en mesuyim mekavlon. That betchila, you don't accept even water and salt. It's clearly not a dov mesuyim, not something you're going to physically give a certain place and be a specific part of the Beis HaMikdash. Obviously, water and salt you're just going to sell and use it to buy wooden stones or nails and screws. Heichadam Dover Mesuyim. What's the example of Dover Mesuyim? I'm Rabbi Yosef. You go on Amma Kal Ya Orev. Like, for example, the Amma of Kal Ya Orev, the problem is when you have buildings, the birds roost on top of the buildings. And then they cause all kinds of damage, etc. You know, besides the fact that they leave behind aesthetically displeasing mementos, right? The birds dafka, they peck around and they could have pieces of dead shrutzim and they could bring tum and the azar to be all kinds of problems. The Gemara points out. So therefore, the Beis Hamikdash, the top arm of the Beis Hamikdash, the Rambam understands literally that, you know, the Beis Hamikdash was so-and-so almost tall, and the top Amma was not actually part of the building. It was just a Kalya Orev. Kalya Orev, there's slightly different shots of exactly what it was, but for our purposes, it doesn't make so much of a difference. It's apparently some sort of metal plates with spikes on them that prevented birds from roosting on top, from landing on top of the Beis Hamikdash, because then they would land on the spikes, and it would, and they would get stuck by the spikes. So therefore, they went to a different building and left the Beis Hamikdash alone. That's Amma Kalya Orev. So the chiddush seems to be that what's an example of Dover Mesuyim, so it's not exactly clear what the Gemara is saying. And that's what Rashi says with the spikes here. But it might be saying that even the Amma Kalya Orev, which is not a even the Amma Kalya Orev, which is not an essential part of the building, just like something outside the building to prevent the birds from coming, is still considered Dover Mesuyim, is still considered an important part of the Beis HaMikdash that we would not let a goy contribute. Okay, that is at least for now the simplest way of reading this Gemara. We'll question that in a moment. So even in Amma Kalya Orev still counts as Dover Mesuyim, and Dover Mesuyim were never Mekabel. Okay, before we get to the Masiv, let's just see what is going on here. First problem is, what does Tchila and Sof mean? How many Peshatim are there in the meaning of Tchila and Basof? What? Who said three? Okay, whoever you are, you were right. What is Betchila and Basof? So one pshat is the pshat Rashi prefers. What is the pshat Rashi prefers? And I think Tosus also prefers that pshat. What is the pshat Rashi prefers?
Getting the building in.
Exactly. And then the svara seems to be... the svara is pretty obvious. Why is there a difference in the beginning of the building and the end of the building? But
beginning and
interfere with
right, riffing your dayim. The beginning of the building is riffing your dayim. The end of the building, obviously, the end doesn't mean like the end of the main building. The end of the building means they finished the building. Now someone wants to make it a little fancier. You know, where now they're about to do the last step. Someone wants to hop a little Yilui Neshamah for his mother-in-law. You know, the end of the building means it's too late to stop the binyan. Now it's just a matter of donating something additional. Like right now, if the Beis HaMikdash was built, the guy wanted to say, you know, I'll give some extra zahav to for the Beis Kodesh Gedushin. I'll give an extra fancy thing, whatever. Okay, why not? You know, I'll donate some wood for repairs and maintenance. Okay, because it's too late to stop.
So, binyan means maintenance because once it gets to the point that it can't stall, so then it's maintenance.
Right. Okay. Riff, and you're dying. That's pretty obvious. Says Rashi, "B'tchilus v'ilu b'nei mekam l'shem alu rufin yadayim eskabdim." Right? Tosu says here, Rashi pirush l'chadchilu shayach rufin yadayim l'sol l'shem rufin yadayim. Your old pirush, Rabbeinu, l'chadchilu b'tchilus v'ilu yishlof z'vini yachshu v'hem v'yaru lomar yishlonu chelim v'yitzam mekdash l'sof t'r mesoyim e'im mekam v'en yu l'shem l'sveris d'avish e'im mekam l'shayach su irur ho v'niv n'v'yitzam mekdash Vinivne be some mikdash kvar. So it's not exactly clear what this what he means by this by this idea of error. Like what's he exactly afraid of? In the beginning, they will complain, they will retract and say, we have a chelek in the Beis HaMikdash. So what? What exactly are they? Is he afraid of? Is he saying, and then they'll want to take their chilek back and be merapi yadayim? Then it sounds awfully similar to Rashi. So it's not clear exactly what this tosus means. Maybe what he means is what?
I thought he meant like the zikrei shevet Menashe against the Yotzlapa, that it's going to be called on their name.
Yeah, so it could be that.
I thought the mitzvahs are. You let everyone build the mitzvah, they get to do what they want with it.
Right, so then you have to figure what's the, as opposed to the Malchus Lohadra. So the point is that there are different ways that the Goyim could give to the Beis HaMikdash. They could give to the Beis HaMikdash, you know, on our terms, or they give to the Beis HaMikdash on their terms, as we discussed earlier. So it could be that in the beginning, even if they say, no, I'm just giving you, do whatever you want, I'm not going to interfere, I'm not going to ask for a say in the matter, then in the beginning, we don't accept it, because they might come back and say, look, we gave money for the Beis HaMikdash, we get to decide what goes on in the Beis HaMikdash also, we get an equal vote, we'll make a council, we'll appoint 5 members, you'll appoint 5 members. But at the end, if in the end they give them the Beis HaMikdash, what do they say? We built the Beis HaMikdash? No, it was already built. You just did a little fancy, you did the gilded archways. So we all know it's not your Beis HaMikdash. You just did a little extra fanciness. So that's what Tosos says. Rashi is refuting. Dying Tosos has nothing against it, right? But Tosos adds, right? Error lomar yesh lanu chelek, a more philosophical problem that if they give $1 million to start the project, then they'll feel like too much balabatim, even though they promise not to be balabatim. Okay.
The Gemara and Rashi says bitchila, and Tosfos starts olachatchila. That's more like Rabbeinu Gershom.
Yes, but even you're right. You don't have the word lachatchila, but he's not mafarish it that way. Right, Tosfos says clearly tchilas habinyan, tchilas habinyan. Right, and verse the whole benivnek far. So you're right. He has the word of Rabbeinu. Ironically, he has the word of Rabbeinu Gershom. He doesn't give the parish of Rabbeinu Gershom. Okay, what's the second parish, Rashi? Rashi b'shem Lashon Acher, right? This is Rashi Lamed Aleph Lashon Acher. What's the Lashon Acher Rashi that he doesn't like? Tchila. What's the Lashon Acher Rashi? Well, he doesn't say that's not specific to Lashon Rashi. It says Tchila means in the beginning when they had Amos Malchus, right? This is two historical circumstances, right? An earlier time when there was Amos Malchus Aleihem, and a later time when there is no Amos Malchus. And then what's the svara? The svara is obvious. The svara is that, did I get it backwards? Sorry. Yeah, I just realized it backwards. The earlier time, there was no Amos Malchus. The later time, there was Amos Malchus Aleihem. And what's the svara? The svara is obvious. We would, obviously, there's not a dinda oraisa, there's something you compromise, let's say it's a dinda rabbanan. We would like to never be mekabel from the goyim. Ideally, there would go to never be mekabel from the goyim. But you have to compromise in the time of Amos Malchus. Then you have to compromise Mishum Darkei Shalom and lower your standards and compromise because you have no choice in the matter. So here he doesn't say this. I don't know if he says the svara, but the svara is very obvious. The svara is that really we should never accept, but you have to compromise when there was Amos, when there was Amos Malchus Aleihem.
The only problem with that is Sukkiyim at the time when they didn't take.
So Rashi's attack is, hold on a second. What do you mean Tchila there's no Amos Malchus? But Tchila, we know the beginnings of Bayis Sheni Atarava. First of all, there's Amos Malchus almost the whole time. You know, the Chashmonaim had their 50 minutes of fame. But there's Amos Malchus only the whole time. And there was more Amos Malchus at the beginning. Look in Ezra and Nehemiah. The king, they were puppets of the king. He pulled the strings one way, pulled the strings another way. They couldn't lift a finger without the king. I mean, they could using tricks. There was tremendous Amos Malchus the first time. So he says, hold on a second. How can you say in early times there's no Amos Malchus? Ezra and Nehemiah, they were totally subjugated to the king.
The first time there was the Gezer of Taurus was Matthew. He was rescinded.
So hold on for a moment. So he says, Moshach, if you mean bias sheni in the beginning, there was Amos Malchus. And if by Batchila you mean bias Rishon, then how can you say that? Because then we ask a question from Asaf Shomer Apardes, and he was in the time of bias sheni. How do you defend the Lashon Acher? You defend the Lashon Acher by just changing one assumption of Rashi about the next line in the Gemara. What's the one assumption about the next line in the Gemara that you have to change in order to defend the Lashon Acher? I mean, I have more than one way to explain the Lashon Acher historically, but either way, you just have to change one perish of one line in the Gemara. What perish of what line in the Gemara do you have to change? Well, let's go to the next line in the Gemara. Yeah?
All you say is Asaf is
Mesuyim. Exactly. The Gemara is the Kasha, Mesivra of Yosef, Yigerzel, Asaf Shomer, Apar, Deisha, Shalomelech, etc. This is when Nehemiah asked the king, right? Remember the story of Nehemiah? He was the cupbearer of the emperor, and he put on a sad face. The emperor says, what can I do for you? And he says, well, I need a little leave of absence to do a little family project, for a very important family project. King says, no problem, just tell me what I can do to help you. He says, well, the family project is the graveyards of all my ancestors and their heritage in a place called Jerusalem, and we need to build the walls of the city, the temple there, and I'll just go for a couple of years, take care of them, and come right back. But all I need from you is the following resources. And miraculously, the king says, no problem. That's for another time, why the king said no problem. But one of the things he says is, then write me a letter to us of Shomer Apardes to give me, wood for building everything I need to build. So hold on. How could he take us of Shomer Apardes? Okay, before we get the answer. What is the question of us of Shomer Apardes? Right? What is the question? Shomer Hapardes. What was the question? What does Rashi say? The question Rashi says is that it was Tchilas Binyan. How can you take from him for Tchilas Binyan? Right? Or, let me say it better, it was Tchila. Right? Now, if Asaf Shomer Hapardes was Tchila, then we're stuck. Asaf Shomer Apardes is Tchila. So you see that Tchila was Amos Malchus. What do you mean? Asaf Shomer Apardes is a letter from the king. How can you say that Tchila there's no Amos Malchus? But what's the other way to read Asaf Shomer Apardes? Sorry. And who reads it otherwise? Rabbi Gershom says, Asaf Shomer parties was Dover Mesuyam. After all, it wasn't water and salt. It wasn't something they were going to sell. Dover Mesuyam is he would. They were going to actually use the wood. What's the assumption of Rabbeinu Gershom here? The assumption of Rabbeinu Gershom here, which will get problematic in another way, is that you don't need a big assumption. Right? Dover Mesuyam, it was the wood, and that wood itself was going to be built. Now, you could have said, well, it's not a Dover Mesuyam, because it's just a general material. It's not like a special part like Amakal Yo'orev. But Rabbeinu Gershom says, no, anything that you can actually see the end is a Dover Mesuyam. Anything you can look at and see is a Dover Mesuyam. Asaf could go, I don't know, it wasn't his own wood, saying the Persians could go and say, all this wood, look at all this wood, that's our wood from the Pardes that Asaf was in charge of. So, now, hold on a second. If you say, now you can defend the Lashon Acher. Say, Asaf wasn't Tchila. Asaf was Sof. Why was Asaf Sof? Because Asaf was time of Ein Emas HaMalchus Aleihem. Why was it Ein Emas HaMalchus Aleihem? Why was it Ein Emas Malchus Aleihem? Because Emas Malchus Aleihem means that they're pressuring you to take it. What does Amos Malchus mean? They're pressuring you to take it. Asaf didn't press you to take it. Right? What's he going to say? The question is, what's Rashi's question? The question is, but, in the time of Nehemiah and Asaf Shomer HaPardes, there was Amos Malchus, and don't think means Bais Sheni, it's Bais Rishon. So what will the Lashon Acher answer? They can either answer two things. Either really Tchila means Bais Rishon, and Asaf Shomer Pardes was Sof. Oh, if it was Sof, what was the question? The question was Dover Mesuyam was Sof, but Dover Mesuyam. Right? That's what the Lashon Acher will answer to Rashi. They'll say the Kashma Sof Shomer Pardes when he was Tchila. He was Taka Sof. He was the Sof when there was no, he was the Sof when there was no Amos Malchus. Or you could even say better. You could even say better. That Tchila equaled Tchilas HaBinyan meant Nehemiah in what city was he in? Where did he leave from? I think it says where he was. Okay, he was in Nehemiah, this is what I mean, Nehemiah talking to the king, that's also Tchila. Why is that Tchila? Because there was no Amos HaMalchus. But rather, or let's say better. You could even say that when Nehemiah talked to the Haman Asaf, that was Tchila. Why was that Tchila? Because Amos HaMalchus means the king pressures you to accept. It is a Sof doesn't just mean they're Amos HaMalchus. The point of Sof is not Amos HaMalchus looking at the political situation, ask the secular politician they're Amos HaMalchus or not. No, Sof means the Malchus uses their Amos HaMalchus to pressure you to accept. And when he asked for a letter to Asaf Shomer Pardes, the Malchus wasn't pressuring him to accept anything. Adrabi, he was pressuring the Malchus to give. And therefore, that's considered a time of tchila. So therefore, no problem. You could really go either pshat in the Gemara now. Now you can go either pshat in the Gemara. Right? You could say, okay, I have two ways to defend the Lashon Acher against Rashi. I'm sure some of these are found in the again, one way is based on the two Shachim Rashi and Lashon Acher. Does Tchila mean Tchilas by Sheni, or does Tchila mean by Rishon? Either Tchila means by Rishon, so what was the question of Asaf? That was a question of Dar Masoyim, like Rabbi Gershon. Or no, Tchila means Tchilas by Sheni. How can you say there's no Amos Malchus but Tchilas by Sheni? Because the Amos Malchus doesn't mean the Goyim rule. It means the Goyim pressure us to accept their contributions. And the days of Nehemiah, meaning when Nehemiah was in, was still talking to the king, the Goyim were accepting pressure to accept the contribution. He was asking for a contribution. That's Tchila.
But if you don't believe that such a matter of priority is a discussion of the Muslims, then my answer doesn't answer the question.
That depends what the problem with the Masoyim is.
That's Rashi.
Okay.
Rabbi Gershon is great, but Rashi doesn't work.
Correct, you, Rabbi Gershon is half great. Okay, nachon. We'll get to that in a moment. Okay, that's the second shot. What's the third shot? The third shot is, who on the page has the third shot? What? Rabbi Gershon. And who off the page also agrees with that shot? The Rambam. They say, Batchila means Lechatchila. Ein mekablin. And what does basof mean? Basof means, where is this? Sorry. Yeah. Well, here actually it's a little different. Lechatchila. And basof means bidiyavet. Lechatchila and bidiyavet meaning it's not the end of the world where God donates for Ben Kabayis. Lechatchila, we prefer that he doesn't, but b'di'eved, but b'di'eved he can. Now, what's the difference between Rabbi Gershom and the Rambam? The difference is what stage is called lechatchila, what stage is called b'di'eved. What does Rabbi Gershom say? 3.1. He says lechatchila was if he wants to. What is his phrase? Be misnadev? Yeah. Lechatchila means omrim lo shelo lehisnadev, but im hisnadev mekablin. Meaning, this is a very make of lechatchila b'di'evet. Lechatchila, we tell him, don't contribute. But b'di'evet, if he does contribute, meaning, look at Billy says, I'd like to make a donation. I have a truckload of wood. I have my checkbook. I'd like to donate to your building fund. Tell him, no, don't donate to the building fund. You know what? Go support poor people in your community. Go bring a carbon. Go. There's lots of other nice things you can do mitzvahs with your money. But if he already says, no, I already makdish this truckload of wood. I already wrote out the check. I was already makdish it. Okay, well, I'm not. I was already makdish it. That was for illustrative purposes only. That was ready, it was already makdish it. Then we accept it. Once it's already hekdish, we accept it. What seems to be the svara? The svara is we'd rather not, maybe because of the chash of, he doesn't say why not, but probably because of riffing your dying, we'd rather not. But if they're already makdish it, then after all, it's already hekdish. Right? What are we going to do with hekdish? We don't want chilul hekdish. So it could be he's already makdish it, and maybe he would give room for chachamim in every door to use their judgment. Obviously, sometimes they might have to use different judgment. But lechatchila, we prefer that they not be involved with us. But in the end, once it's hekdish already, we don't want chilul hekdish. Or Mishum Eva, maybe once he's already makdish it. Okay, you can think of different stars. The Rambam is a much more machmir version. What does the Rambam say? That lechatchila, what does he define lechatchila? His lechatchila is Rabbi Gershon's b'di'evet, right? Ein mekablin, even if he already brought it. Even if he's misnadiv, ein mekablin, then what's b'di'evet?
He already took it.
in Kiblu, which should never actually happen, meaning the Vidyevet can only happen if the Jew makes a mistake. If the Jews made a mistake and accepted it, right, Ein Machzirin, the Rambam is much more machmir about this, exactly why, maybe we'll see in a moment exactly what he means about this. The Rambam is much more machmir on this. Now, the why the Rambam says Rishat we'll mention in a moment. Let us just go a little bit in order of the Gemara. What's the problem of Dover HaMasuyim? Let's just continue in the Gemara. What's the problem of Dover HaMasuyim? Dover HaMasuyim Afilu Basof. Right? What does it mean to be Basof? According to Rashi, even after it's built, we don't accept it. According to the Lashon Acher, even in a time period of Amos Malchus, we don't accept it, even though it might lead to anti-Semitism and to persecution. And according to Rabbi Gershon, even if he was already Makdish, we don't accept it. And according to the Rambam, even if we accepted it, we give it, throw it back in his face. So what's wrong with Fil Basof Lo? Why not? What's wrong with the Dover HaMasuyim? What's so bad about a Dover HaMasuyim? So what does Rashi say? Rashi says, G'nai, is that all he says? Right, exactly. Rashi says, G'nai. Meaning, it's a G'nai that a part of the Beis HaMikdash should be from a guy. It's one thing if you gave to the fund, but then an actual thing you should say, oh, that's from the guy, then that's a G'nai. Right. Even without a plaque, there's a virtual plaque. And his parus, right, which are very close, right? The guy will show off. Obviously, G'nai and Misfarim are really two sides of the coin. I mean, they're subtly different, but they're two sides of a coin. It's a G'nai for us, and it's showing off for them, because it's pasnish that, right, this sounds like maybe drum. Hard to tell. It's pasnish that actual thing that you can see in the base of Megiddo should be from the G'nai. Okay, what does Rabbi Gershom say?
They take it back. They want to take it back.
Right, although he says two things, which is interesting. Dover Soyim Shem Nira Vibinyan, Ein Mekablo Mehem, Mishum, lo lachem v'lanu, the old shemi ischariko b'mash and nadar, v'yir tashiachzi ruhulo. The Rabbeinu Gershom says, one is because of lo lachem v'lanu. What does lo lachem v'lanu mean? It sounds like no. There's a pasuk that the Beis HaMikdash should come from God. If they donated, that's one thing. You know, once we spent the money on something else, we were koneh it. But if the thing is from Goyim, then it's inappropriate that Goyim should, not just to look bad. Because it's fundamentally inappropriate. So and number two
why
is...
Why to Dover Masuyim?
What?
Why is that Dover Masuyim? It could be anything. I mean, well, come love it, don't matter what it is. You don't see it, it's in there.
Well, I have some other trouble with Rabbi Gershom, I will admit, in a moment. So the second one is more obvious. He might ask for a back, right? Darsha in Masoya means if he gives a check, then he can't ask for a back. We'll say he spent it already. Right? I mean, he can, but he can't have much of a time. Especially if he donates, I donate used cars. So we sell the used cars, we buy the new cars. He can't have used cars back. We already sold them in the junkyard and they made it in scrap metal. But if he says, no, I'm donating a floor tiles. He can say, I want my floor tiles back. He can say, I'm donating, pillars. I want my pillars back. Okay, the first answer, Lolach and Belanu, sounds like, maybe what you would say is like this. We know that if he donates something, we use it itself to make some mikdash, then his name is still captured. If he donates something, we sell it by something else, his name is no longer attached to a chefza. And therefore, that's not a problem with Lochem Elanu. If he just donated the money, once he donated the money, we took the money. Now it's not his money anymore, we spent it. But if he donated the actual chefza, his name is still connected to that chefza, and maybe maybe it's inappropriate for a guy to own a chefza in the Beis HaMikdash. The tricky part of Rabbeinu Gershom, which I don't understand, is that he says the question, what was the question of Safran Shomer Pardes? Rashi says the question was that was Bechila. He says the question is Dover HaMasuyim. What's the answer? The answer is, oh, they would never change their mind. What do you mean they would never change their mind? That only eliminates the second problem. What if the problem will come along? Like, who cares if they won't change their mind? How did that solve the problem of Lulachem Bulani? It's still their wood.
If they give it to Nisim Gemura, so then that will have Rachel Tavish and Mesuyah.
Okay, that's adding something to the Gemara.
Meaning the problem with Lulachem Bulani is that...
Okay, I hear the answer. Okay, let me come back then in a moment. What did the Rambam say, by the way, Tavish and Mesuyah? What's wrong with Tavish and Mesuyah according to the Rambam? Does he say? He does say, right? Where does he say? In Davar Masuyim, he only discusses in Matnas Aniyim. What does he say in Matnas Aniyim? Exactly. He says the problem is Lolachem Bolanu. Meaning, a guy can't have a chilek. If he gives the money, it's not his chilek anymore. We spent the money on something else. But if he gives an actual object, then that's having a chelik in Yerushalayim, and having a chelik in Yerushalayim is usher. Okay, now let's go. Let's read the next line of the Gemara. Says the next line of the Gemara. Amar li Abai, the answer. Shani malchusa de lo hadrebe. Amar Shmuli. Amar malchusa. Akar naturi de lo hadrebe. No, it was okay to take Masaf Shor Pardes, because that was the government. The government doesn't change their mind. The government says we're going to uproot a mountain, they'll uproot the mountain. Meaning, governments don't change their mind. Okay, politicians do. But maybe in those days it was different. What?
They set red lines and don't go.
Maybe in those days they didn't. I don't know. So, that's true, right? Maybe the Gil Sessor. Right? They don't change their mind. In those days it was poshness for a government to change their mind. Yeah, they just live in Arab democracy, that's different, and now you can always change your mind. So you can say, the other people disagree in the circumstances, etc. In the old days, the king, if a king changed his mind, then lo ishvi chazeiv uben adam b'yisnecham, it was poshness for a king to change his mind. Okay, how does that solve... How does that solve the problem? So they won't change their mind. If they won't change their mind, how does that solve the problem? Shani Malchusa the low hundredweight. How does that solve the problem? So, and what problem is it solving? Right? So according to Rashi, solves the problem of Tchila, which is Rifyon Yadayim. If the problem is Rifyon Yadayim, that they're not going to go through and they're actually impede the building, no, when the government says they'll build, so there's no Rifyon Yadayim. According to Tosfos, solves the problem of Tchila, which is, remember what the Tosfos says, Yashru v'aru, right? Lomar yesh lanu chelek, right? Which is error. Lomar yesh lanu chelek. He says, what was the problem of tchilas binyan? The problem of tchilas binyan was that they could say that now it's really theirs and they didn't mean to donate and they have a chelek. But a government, just like they won't retract from uprooting a mountain, they won't retract from giving a matonic work. The government says, this is your wood forever, do whatever you want with it, and we have no claim to it anymore. They won't retract and say it's really our wood. Okay, according to Rabbi Gershom, he's pretty clear that what problems does it solve? Solves problem of Dover Mesuyim. Now, Rashi couldn't say it was about Dover Mesuyim. That's why Rashi didn't say it was Dover Mesuyim. Because that's Gnai and Hisparus. How would the fact they don't change their mind take away a Gnai? That wouldn't solve the problem with Gnai. It wouldn't solve the problem with Spidey. Just show off. Right? But Rabbeinu Gershom, he says, the problem of Dover Mesuyim. And therefore, Rashi would probably have to say, wood is not a Dover Mesuyim. Why is wood not a Dover Mesuyim? Because it's not like Amikal, it's not in a specific place. It's just the material used all over. Yes, and that's not Mikara. Like, meaning Rashi might say, Amakal Yo'orev, that's a specific part. So that's Dover Mesuyim. That's fully built for a specific part. But what is a building material? That's not Dover Masuyim. So they have an argument together of Dover Masuyim.
It might not be a finished project.
What?
It also might not be a finished project.
The wood. Exactly. So the solid problem of Dover Masuyim, which is, right? Charata, which is they might ask for it back, right? The problem of Dover Masuyim, they'll ask for it back. They solve the problem of Dover Masuyim because the king will never ask for something back. It's a little less clear if the problem of Dover Masuyim is Lo Lachem V'Lanu.
No, that's not.
What? I guess what you have to say is that if they're never going to ask for it back, that's not a problem of Lo Lachem V'Lanu. It's still a little, you know, needs a little finessing. You have to say, no, if they're never going to ask for it back, it also takes away the problem of Lo Lachem V'Lanu. You have to say one of two things. You have to say one of these. Lo Lachem V'Lanu is only a problem if they still consider themselves not a shaykhus to it. And over here, like Yosef said, it's Matana Gemura, and therefore it may be solving that problem also. And maybe also Lo Lachem V'Lanu. Okay. And there's more Rifyon Yadayim. Why is there more Rifyon Yadayim by Dover Masuyim?
They can take it back. It's the same idea. They can take it back.
But then why is there the oat?
Ascending one is just, I think the same thing as you in Tosfos, right? But that Rifyon Yadayim and that error is two separate things in Tosfos. Right? One is you're doing it because you want to mess them up, and the other thing you need to add a.
Fair enough. If Lo Lachem V'Lanu is because of Rifyon Yadayim, then there's no Rifyon Yadayim by Malchusa. Okay, that's I think even better. Now the Rambam here is a little tricky, right? That's what the Lechem Mishnah points out. Okay, we've basically understood everything pretty well except for the Rambam. To understand the Rambam, we have to just go one line further in the Gemara. From his pile of produce, both if he says, I had in mind what the Jews think, we give it to a Kohen. Okay, what does this mean? There's a three-way machlokes, exactly what this means, right? In the internet, Tov says this is the manda omar, that goyim can be mafresh truma. So it's truma d'oraisa to give it to a Kohen. The Rambam says, no, we pass him the Rabbanan, a goy can give truma, so that's why he goes to the Kohen. And the Shidduch Gemetzes brings the day that no, a goy can't be nachum at all. It just means a gift to the, a matana for the Kohen, just a gift to the Kohen. Okay, but either way, if he says, I meant what the Jews think, give it to the Kohen. But, the Imlav, if he does say I meant what the Jews think, then truma's not so pasha. Da ber b'nei Yisrael v'yikuli truma. Maybe truma means, hektish. So v'imlav ton gniza chayshin shem olivo shemayim. Then you have to put in gniza because he might think hektish. The chayshin shem olivo shemayim. Meis ve overcome shisnadik korv shem kosvo lebot kenoso amar v'das yol v'rashi yagud v'yishtam shem osar v'imlav ton gniza chayshin shem olivo shemayim. Ah, we see if a guy donated a beam with the shem Hashem written on it, we ask him what he meant, and if he said I meant v'das yisrael, then we use it. But if he said, if not, then we have to put in Gneza because maybe he meant it for Hektish. So the Kasha is, time to shame Kosvale, the Bai Gneza, Ha'in Shame Kosvale, Lo Bai Gneza. No, who did not have Kosvale, Nami Bai Gneza, Vakamashvalan, etc. Right? So we say, no, it's whether it has a Shem Hashem or not. What's the principle? If a guy gives something Vidas Yisrael, he means for other uses. For non-hektish. If for Hashina Shemalibo Lashamayim, then it goes into Gneza. Why does it go into Gneza if Libo Lashamayim? If he was Mak, based on what it says, if he's Makdashit, we put in Gneza. Why do we put in Gneza if he was Makdashit? Why do we put in Gneza if he was Makdashit? Right? End of Sugya. End of Sugya says, Libo Lashamayim, which means hektish, leads to Gneza. Why do we put Hektish in Gneza? What does Rashi say? What is Rashi? Why do you put Hekdesh in Gneza? Why not just use it for Hekdesh? Rashi says, Bismana Seh. What does the Rambam say? When the Rambam brings this down, right? Where does the Rambam bring this down? About, we check what is had in mind. Interestingly, not in the case of Truma and not in the case of Korah, but in what case does the Rambam bring this down? What? In the case, well, okay, that's true. He does bring it down. Alright, we're gonna have to. Yeah, he does bring down the Beis HaKnesses, but he also brings down Hilchas Erchin, right? What does he say in both places? Why is it Nignas? Did he say it's only talking about Bzman HaZeh? What does he say? If a guy gave to the Beis HaKnesses, V'yim lo amar ta'an geniza shema liba l'shamayim. So if liba l'shamayim, why don't we accept it? Well, let's say it a little better in Hilchos Erchin, it's more mefurish. Akum who gives for Bedek HaBayis, Ein Makavlu Nedovo Nedro L'chazik Bedek HaBayis Bedek Shulayim Shenemer Lo Lachem V'lonu Livnos Beis Hashem. Right? So what do? We check. If he says Al Das Yisrael, then we spend it for non-hektish purposes, right? Yid B'mashi Yiralahem, whatever you want. Most everyone would assume that means for non-hektish purposes. Although the Brisker Rav assumes maybe it means for Kachim Mizbeach. Okay, either way, not Bedek HaBayis. And if it's Bedek HaBayis, Ema Amar L'Shamayim L'Darti, Yiganzu. Pashup Shad is, if he says, Machshe, it goes to Gneza. And if he says, whatever the Jews want, we use it for other things. Maybe we'll build a war memorial. Maybe we'll build a, I don't know, all kinds of interesting things. We'll build a nice fountain. We'll build all kinds. We'll build a desalination plant. Whatever we want. Okay, says the Rambam. The Rambam says, not talking about Bzman HaZeh. He does make the Ukindurian as that. Why is it Yigunzu? So the context is clear. Because of Lo Lachem Velanu. This is what we have on the board before, that the Rambam holds Lo Lachem Velanu means, not as far as the right of the Rashi Shan said, most Tosu said, he can't be Makish at all, but not as little as the Shidu Gabetz that is just Riffian and dying in some historical circumstances. It means Yigunzu, it has to go into Geniza and not be used. At least that's the Pashup Shat in the in the Rambam. Now, this fundamental machlokes, I think, underlies the Shita of the Rambam. After all, according to the Rambam, if you put it into Geniza, then can he agree with Rashi that we accepted in the Sof Binyan? Right? Well, hold on a second. According to the Rambam that we put in Gneza, could he agree with Rashi that Basof Binyan we accept it? No, because he says we put in Gneza, and it doesn't say only Tchilas Binyan, it sounds like any time you put in Gneza. If it's, right, it sounds like we always put in Gneza. Can he agree with the Lashon Acher that depends on his Amos Malchus and not Amos Malchus, and then Pasha's not? Since we always put in Gneza. This is a fundamental din that we put in Gneza. So Lachora, Rambam Shita, the earlier part of the Gemara, comes out of, why is he so machmir, right? Why is he so machmir? Because the Rambam says there's Gneza, even the Rambam said there's Gneza. The Rambam says the din of Lo Lachem V'Lanu means Gneza. If the din of Lo Lachem V'Lanu means Gneza, therefore, what do you mean so? Even Basof opinion, Lo Lachem V'Lanu means Gneza.
Oops. That's supposed to be an X.
Right, L'chora, the Rambam, says is Pshat, because his machlokes with Rashi later in the Gemara. Do you make an Ukinta of Bzman HaZeh later in the Gemara? Rashi makes an Ukinta of Bzman HaZeh, which is not such a crazy Ukinta. After all, Bzman HaZeh is not a crazy Ukinta. We live in Bzman HaZeh, right? Whoever wrote these, Bryce says, live Bzman HaZeh, and Astam. So Rashi says Bzman HaZeh, but of course, we could really take Akum for Bedek Abayis. The Rambam says no. Akum for Bedek Abayis is Ton Gemiza. That's going to all the complications and interesting parts of the Rambam are going to come from the fact that if a guy gives to Bedek Abayis, it's Ton Gemiza. Now, if a guy gives to Bedek Abayis, it's Ton Gemiza. Now we're going to have a whole bunch of kashas on the Rambam. What are the kashas on the Rambam based on this? This is going to create problems, and with this we'll have to end. What have we seen? We've seen four different pshatim in Tchil and Sof. We've seen two different pshatim in the question from Asaf Shomer Pardit. We've seen four different pshatim in Davar Masuyim. We've seen two different pshatim in the question of Asaf Shomer Pardit, and two or three pshatim so far in the answer of Asaf Shomer Pardit. What's the problem going to be? Now, of course, this Yiganes is talking L'chor even Bein B'tchila Bein B'sof. L'chor it's talking about even B'sof. It doesn't say only B'tchila. And it's talking about Bein Davar Masuyim is Davar She'en Masuyim. Truma from a Kri is a Davar She'en Masuyim, right? That's wheat. Wheat is a Davar She'en Masuyim. A Korah might be a Davar Masuyim, but the Truma is a Davar She'en Masuyim, right? If he brings wheat, that's Mayim Melech. So what are the questions? This creates problems. What problems does this create for the Rambam? Anyone want to tell me what problems this creates for the Rambam? Number one, you could ask, if it's, if the din is Yiganes, then, well, anyone have any problems? What problems does this create for the Rambam?
Why are you Moel that they
have? Okay, number one, why does the Rambam pass a note to Me'ilah that there's Me'ilah? The Rambam Hilchos Me'ilah quotes, Goy is marked to Bedek Abayis, there's Me'ilah. Didn't our Gemara just say that whatever goes to Kenizah has no Me'ilah? That's one question. What's another question? Another.
Why does Rambam Manas and Yim say that you accept the Hakdash?
Exactly. Why? What did the Rambam say? If the din is Kenizah, why? What does it say in Manas and Yim? He says, Ein Mekablin. And in Kibbulah and Mechzimah, he doesn't say anything about Kenisa. Right? So, this is a stira to Ein Mekablin, means we don't take it. Vim Kiblu Ein Mechzimah, and if we do take it, we keep it. At least by Dav Sheni Masuyam, like the Truma. Right? So, hold on a second. The Rambam and the Gemara later said, Rashi is no problem. This Gemara later by Kenizah has nothing to do with anything until now. So it's Manazeb, there's no Beis HaMikdash. For the Rambam, A, the Kenizah is steer to the Me'ilah, just brings up the steer from before. B, it's a steer to the previous line. We just said Mayimu Melach, right? Lachachili, we don't take it, but if they give it, then we keep it. Here it says we're going to use it. And three, what's the other problem? Is that, what is the answer? It's to Asaf Shomer Pardes. Hold on a second. The answer to Asaf Shomer Pardes is that the government's not going to change their mind. The government's not going to change their mind, but if the din is that it needs Gnisa, then who cares if they're going to change their mind or not? The din of Lolach and Volonim tells you that you can't use it. You have to put it in Gnisa. If you have to put in Geniza, who cares if they change their mind or not? This is not a practical problem. Geniza is not a practical problem. Geniza means, I mean, I'm making assumptions, right? Why isn't it taught in Geniza? Even if the government wouldn't change their mind, fine. But why don't we have to put in Geniza? Okay, so everyone's sheet but the Rambam, I think, is pretty clear by now. The Rambam still needs a little work, and I see the hour is late. So what we're going to do is I had thought that maybe I would add to these. Here's the Makoros number 12. Maybe we'll just stick with these for next time because we don't have that much time to learn between now and Monday because Sunday is a non-learning day. Agav, Sunday, everyone here is invited, I think starting 8:30 with Shacharis. 8 o'clock Shacharis? 8 o'clock Shacharis right here in the base Medrash, and then Kinos elucidated all morning by my old chavrusa, Rabbi David Gottlieb, who is a big Talmud Chacham and a experienced and very popular Pope rabbi till he made Aliyah to a country where the job of Pope rabbi is not as prominent as it was in the old country. I don't know if he's still a Pope rabbi or not, but he was a big Pope rabbi in Baltimore, a big Talmud Chacham, and does a very, very, very nice job of bringing up the meaning and the feelings of the keynote. So anyone who wants to come here and daven with us definitely will be a worthwhile experience. And we'll pick up Monday. We'll have to finish up, just get the sheet of the Rambam down, fill in the svaras and get the sheet of the Rambam down, and then go on to the Gemara. Everyone please take a copy of the next set of Mar Mekomos, which you'll try to, if we can, sneak in on Monday also, because we'll be able to do the Rambam and discuss a little Shin Shul B'Kom. We'll still have time to start the next.